Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Tuesday, June 25th. I'm Denise Salcedo, joined by comedian Chinadu. Chinadu, welcome back to the channel. We're here to talk about WWE, NXT, and dang, it was kind of a good one. But before we get into everything that broke down on NXT today, how are you, man? Welcome back to the show.
Oh, man, Denise, I'm always happy to be here. It is a pleasure to be here on a dope Tuesday night. Tuesday nights without NXT aren't Tuesday nights. This is the highlight of the week to me. It's the very best. So I've been great. I just got a meeting with Ava. I don't know if y'all saw me on NXT earlier. I was at the beginning with the meeting with Ava and the other referees. I don't know if you saw me there. I was there with the referees.
What?
We had the meeting. Oh, yeah, I was there. I was there. Like, I got fired, though. They said we did a terrible job tonight keeping people out.
I'm so confused. What?
Yeah. You know, at the beginning of NXT with the referees, I was out there. I was there. One of the referees, I was talking to Ava, but she fired me after the show. She said I did a terrible job of keeping things in control.
Wait, you're joking, right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm like Sheldon Cooper. I don't get sarcasm.
No, I'm sorry. I was just playing.
I was like, wait, what? This doesn't make any sense. I was like, he lives here. The show is here. And it was funny because I was going to ask you, I was like, why are you wearing a referee t-shirt? I'm dead. You know what? You need to, honestly, you kind of fooled me with that. I was thinking, no, it took me a second to realize that was a joke.
Excellent, guys. I'm very glad it was a cool laugh. I hope the audience laughed too, though, but I was out there in the front, man. We tried to keep it contained. It was a terrible job, man. She's like, hey, all these fights broke out. Chino, you fired. I was like, God dang it, man. I came on to the show.
Well, I mean, there's like always a million people that get these random jobs with WWE as security guard. So when you said that, I thought that's actually kind of believable, especially because they had like security and people. And sometimes you don't like look at them. At least I don't like look at their each and every single one of their faces. So you could have easily been like, yeah, I was one of the security guards. I was about to go and pull it up.
I ain't gonna lie, like I felt like I was like, Chen, you could run with this. I'm like, nah, Chen, we have a show, man. Don't do that, man. Tell your plan, don't do it. Yeah, but I was joking. I love have my referee shirt from my own little sports kit though. But I thought I'd throw on a night, man, because I wore it because I did want to volunteer for a match next week, but we'll get into that a little bit later though.
Interesting.
Oh, yes, we'll get to it. Oh yeah.
All right, well, we got NXT to get into, and there are two storylines happening on the show that I can't wait to dive into. But before we dive into those, I want to go ahead and kick things off with our super chats here. And the first one is from Sheldon Jackson, who says, 4 streams away from 100 straight streams with a gifted membership for the ever-growing DWO Army. And remember, folks, once you're DWO, you're DWO for life, and it's just too sweet. So first of all, thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson, and he also gifted 5 DWO memberships today. And here's the thing. Right now is the time to be a member of the DWO because I'm doing bonus content. Every single Monday, I am doing an additional little bonus video podcast for the DWO. So if you guys are interested in that, just a little tiny perk for you guys to check out. Thank you so much to Sheldon for that. We also got a very generous super chat here from William Buner, kicking us off strong, saying, just wanted to show some appreciation to the queen of wrestletainment. I will be catching the playback in the morning. Have a great night. Now whoop that trick. Wrestletainment, has that been taken already?
I don't think so. I think you should patent that, Denise. Wrestletainment.
Right? I need to steal that. That should be that's a YouTube channel name right there. Wrestletainment? Are you kidding me?
William, you are fire.
Right, because think about it. There's all of these wrestling. I mean, there's a million wrestling YouTube channels, and it's always like Wrestle Something, right? There's so many Wrestle Somethings, but I don't think I've ever seen Wrestletainment.
I never seen that ever. I think that's, William, that's really creative. And on top of giving that 20, you are dope, my man.
We need to put you in advertising or marketing or something. I like that. We got Nick Blues, who also just gifted a DWO membership. Thank you so much to Nick Blues. And we have Jay Stone here, who says, I've seen enough Lola for Champion. I'm pushing the button and the propaganda. And I don't like this Brooks Jensen stuff now disrupting main event angles. Well, I'll tell you something. Jay Stone right there, Chinadu, mentioned the two top stories that I can't wait to dive into. Chinadu, since you are my co-host, tell me, which story do you want to get into first, the main event or the Lola Roxanne stuff?
Well, first of all, you know, I'm team Roxanne. We're going to dive into Roxanne first because that's the homie. I got to dive into Roxanne first, though, and I want to talk about the Lola Vice stuff, even though I do want to talk about that main event because I feel the exact same way that they feel about that. I was very upset at that ending. I did not like it. Yeah, I didn't. But
I was going to post my reaction, Chinadu, because I've been posting them on Instagram, but I kind of held back because my reaction was like, oh, wow, damn, pin the champion. And so, you know what I mean? No, I'm thinking I should post it. But it's so opposite from my other reactions where I'm like, yeah, that was so cool, blah, 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 blah. This one was like not depression mode, but I didn't look like I was having fun.
No, at all.
Literally deadpan. That was the reaction. It's very telling when you don't have a reaction.
Yes, because like, I'll save my thoughts for that. I'm sorry.
We'll save our thoughts. Let's get into Roxanne Perez and Lola Vice because that is something that I cannot wait to talk about. These are two girls, Chinadu, that I feel like if I had Stan accounts, it would either be about Roxanne or it'd be about Lola because these two girls are freaking killing it. What you have right now is Roxanne Perez, who is really coming into her own as champion. She got that very massive victory over Jordynne Grace, which was really the biggest thing she's done as champion. However, on the other side of this, you have Lola Vice, who they have done a phenomenal job with making her a valid, and I mean valid, challenger. How many times aren't we always asking for there to be challengers that are believable, that are built strongly, and that you legitimately believe, hey man, they might actually defeat the champion? And that is what you have right now in Lola Vice. They have been building her up very, very nicely. So today you had this match between Roxanne Perez and Carmen Petrovic. Good match. Carmen looked great, but during this, you had Lola Vice on commentary, and there was a lot of fun stuff between her and Booker T, which we'll get into in just a second, but the big thing that happened afterwards was there was that confrontation with Roxanne and Carmen, and Roxanne almost thought she was going to get the upper hand on Lola Vice like she did last week, but instead, Lola caught her arm and instead ended up hitting her with a spinning back fist that I thought literally took Roxanne Perez's face off.
So fast.
And now this match is official. It is happening at NXT Heatwave. We are going to see both of these women compete for the NXT Women's Championship. Chinadu, where are you at with all of this? Because I have some conflicted feelings.
I mean, why don't I say your opening statement took the words right out of my mouth. I want to say, first of all, I love how they have built Lola Vice. When I tell you, like, it has been just a true development. I mean, legit wins, like, no chicken shit heel stuff. She beat down, what's her name, Baszler. Like, that was a beat down. Like, oh, God, like, that was scary. Like, that was, like, real scary. And she came in, like, real monster. Like, and I love all her wins. She's not, like, so scary. She doesn't back down. I love her on the mic. I love her ring presence. I can't wait to see this confrontation. I'm just very excited about it. Even though I'm a big Roxanne Perez fan, I still want her to retain. But if she loses to Lola Vice, I won't be mad at her because Lola Vice has been built so well over these past few months, I feel. Not like a three-week build. She won three matches straight. No. Months of this girl in the background. Hey, I'm coming for that. Hey, I'm coming for you. Hey, I'm coming for you. And now it's here. And I'm excited. And it's like heat wave. I feel like this is the perfect. I love it.
Oh, you're on to something. I didn't even think about that. All the heat that Lola Vice is bringing and she could win at heat wave. okay, man. Shawn Michaels, he's really is cooking back there. He's out there putting everything together.
I love it. And I just, I love like the no, and like that backhand was so, like, it was so, I thought she missed for a second. It was so fast. Like, did she hit it? And you see, I was like, oh no, she knocked Roxanne. And Roxanne sold that so well. She was out cold and she took the belt. I was like,
I don't even swat flies that hard. Think about that. That is how hard she freaking got her. But it was so good. And here's the thing. Like, you were mentioning Lola Vice and how they have been building her. When you think about it, you mentioned Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler is a main roster talent. And who's the other main roster talent that she also got down? Natalya. So now you're looking at this and you're going, oh, okay, Lola Vice's reputation is looking pretty damn good when she's taking down girls like Shayna and Natalya. Yeah. But then on the other hand, Roxanne took down Jordynne Grace, a champion of another company with a whole other women's division. So this begs the question to you and to the viewers. Do you think Lola Vice should defeat Roxanne Perez?
Honestly,
I'm seeing some people sway, Chinadu.
Man, what are y'all doing? You supposed to be with me with Team Roxanne. What's happening, guys? What's going on here? You guys, you see, just because she's been built so well for months and put on a great performance and great matches and great promos and excellent ring presence, all of a sudden you're going to flip-flop like that? Is that all it takes, people?
It takes, right?
But I got to say, if she does take it, I mean, I won't be mad, though. Although, I always felt like Cora Jade was supposed to come back in the background. That's supposed to be like a...
I think she's going to be out for still a little longer.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because remember she got hurt with her ACL, and I just, that was not even too long ago. So I don't think she's had, she hasn't had the time that it normally takes to heal all that stuff up.
That's right, because that was only a few months ago. Like, she only be back till 2025-ish, maybe 26-ish, actually.
Who knows? I'm pretty sure she probably put out an update, but I don't remember what that update was. But I do remember seeing something along those lines. But I'm not expecting her. That's the point, though, that I'm not expecting her anytime soon. I think she's going to be taking her time doing that. But that, look, should I do? I know you're going to be I love Roxanne just as much as you do. Okay. I really, really do. And I was that person that kept saying we got screwed from her first run. And the second run, I was all in. I'm still all in. And I do agree with you that I'm good with whoever wins. But part of me has truly loved the way that they have built up Lola Vice so much that I almost want to see her defeat Roxanne Perez. I'm kind of leaning that direction.
But it's like, I feel I feel like... But also the thing is that, like, I feel, man, this is hard, but I feel like, but if Roxanne isn't a women's champion, like, what else is there for her to do in NXT, though? Like, what would she do after, if she would have dropped the title, like, what else would she do in NXT?
Right, I see what you mean.
That's my only concern for her character, because she's been built up so well as a heel, and Lola Vice, like,
There's still more leg in it, right?
Yeah, there's still more leg in that. She can still continue to be like, that can still be a slow burn of frustration. Like, I'm getting screwed out to possibly lead to maybe a rubber match or even a trilogy between those guys, though, because I feel like they have such a good feud they can possibly stretch that out past one match, in my opinion. Because, like, they're both, like, very good in the ring, very, like, buggy on the mic, and I feel their chemistry, it's really, really good. And I feel like they need a hot feud like that to last a good while in the women's division, to me.
Okay, so now I feel like I'm easily persuadable because you just swayed me in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Please, I went into this going, you know what? Maybe Lola Vice should win. But you know what? I'm having clearly been seeing the vision, and you're right. There is a lot more that can be done there, because I do think that the chemistry between them is undeniable. They're matching each other's freak, and that's what you need. That's honestly what you need. And I do think that they can extend this a lot more. So, Chinadu, you win on this one. I think that you're right. I think we should have Roxanne retain just so that we can see what more can go down with Lola Vice and Roxanne. However, if Lola Vice wins, Chinadu, I'm going to be mad that I didn't stick with it in the first place. But you know what? This isn't an official prediction show. It doesn't count yet.
I mean, that is also true. It's true. But I also pose this question as well. In amidst the possible trilogy, could you see the title, like that last match with Lola possibly winning? Could you see it being put on the line in NXT Underground? Could you see Roxanne
and she's digging deep like that?
Because she's undefeated. Could you see her like, hey, You keep cheating to win. You keep going out there. Come in my place. See if you can win here. And see, we'll see if, and like that could take Roxanne's character somewhere we've never seen it. Also, like Roxanne's been a great job with this heel. Like the trash she, like the trash talking she did after that match to what's name to what's her name? Oh my god,
Carmen Petrovic.
Yeah, Carmen Petrovic. Like the trash talking she did to Carmen after that match, I loved it. It was those small little nuances of heel work that I keep seeing in Roxanne every week that I love, and I'm like, what if she went real dark like that in that ring? I mean, me and lose, and she could lose. That's it's and losing there is fine because again. I was undefeated there. I would be cool with that.
I would too. You're making some points here. And yeah. I feel like, again, because I am a fan of both of the women and both of how they've been presented as champion, as challenger, I do feel like they got something good here. And I think this is also something that I have been asking for in wrestling across the board, where I want to be torn. I love shit like this. I love not being able to decide, hey, I want the champion to retain, or hey, damn, I actually want to see the challenger get a win here. So I do kind of like that I'm torn in the scenario. Before I move on to another topic, though. What did you think of Booker T? There was a moment. Okay, I need to see more of Booker T and Lola Vice, because there was a moment where Lola Vice was talking shit to Roxanne, and she was telling Roxanne to shut her mouth and eat shit, but she was telling her in Spanish, and Booker T was like, oh, yeah. Oh, what did she say? What does that mean? It's like he was turned on by what she was saying, but she was saying all of this filthy stuff.
Yeah, and Booker's commentary. He's just so like, he's truly a one of a kind, man, because he literally no clue was going, oh, yeah, man, that sounds real good, man. Well, I wish I could, man. If let me tell you something, back in my day, man, you say something like that to me, oh, you're going to roll with me, girl. Let me say something right now. Oh, yeah,
and
man.
Roxanne is his girl, Chinadu. That's his girl. He's always rooting for her. Everyone knows that she trained with Booker T, and he's out here being like, oh, yeah. The Lola Vice's charms had Booker T in a vice.
Exactly. And I remember was like what I said too, like her in-ring work is so top tier, but like the way, like what is it? What's the term I'm looking for? I think her that aura she gives off. It's aura, that aura she gives off that can just pull you in. Had Booker all sucked in. Like when she came in, I saw the walk. Okay, the walk. When I tell you, like I had
when she walked out with the title, Chinadu.
Yes, when she walked out, and he just walked like so, like straight star move. I'm like, man, I can't lie. That's why you had me swayed me. So I was like, she looked good with that title.
She did. She really
held that belt up. She held that belt up like she know that like she know how it feel. I can carry it like that. And I was like, you. That's why I had me nervous.
That was all the persuading you needed. You're like, I'm sold. She looks good. She's got the pink, pretty in pink with the championship. Yes. I'm sold on this. All right.
I mean, she bathes with brains. And I was like, oh my gosh, this girl's scary. I love it.
Let's see what people are saying. Here we go. Let's get into this. And oh, there's a lot. So we got Stephen Marchuli here who says, so Ruka has the it factor. Javon Evans has skills. Both solid headliners for CW Move. Both on the rise in their respective divisions. I agree. Brandon Rosen with a very generous super chat saying, I wonder about this women's North American title match. So Ruka was favored in the ladder match, but Kalani won. Now it's Sol as number one contender. I'm thinking it's the first of a long feud with Kalani. Could we see a heel turn from either? So this is very interesting because I, along the same lines of Brandon, was thinking the exact same thing. So basically what we had added to NXT Heatwave, we had a match between Sol Ruka and Ariana Grace, and Sol Ruka defeats Ariana Grace with the Soul Snatcher, and now that earned her a title shot against Kalani Jordan for the NXT North American Championship. Here's the thing. I, along with Brandon and along with a lot of people, thought that Sol Ruka was going to be the one to win the NXT North American Championship for the women in the ladder match at Battleground. I think she was probably the fan favorite heading into that. And it was a huge surprise when Kalani Jordan won. Now, Kalani had her first defense last week, but she defeated Meacham with the help of Jada Parker. And that's further established their whole thing. But I did not like, and I said this last week, that I didn't like her defending her championship and having her first win be with the help of somebody else, because I feel like they needed to tell people like, hey, this is Kalani and this is why she's the first ever NXT North American Women's Champion. So I'm looking at this and I'm sort of torn because I feel like they haven't made a strong enough case to keep it on Kalani. But at the same time, it is way too soon, in my opinion, at least, to take the title off of somebody who just won it. I thought her winning meant they were going to catapult her into another level on the division.
I wholeheartedly agree. excuse me. I really didn't have Kalani as my pick either to win. Like, I had, so again, Sol Ruka was fan favorite. I had Jada Parker. I want Jada Parker to win. That's who I had. I did not have Kalani picked at all. I was surprised when she won it. And just, and again, too, like, with the way they booked it, I was really going, I was really thinking it was going to be Sol Ruka, especially with the emphasis they put on the Soul Snatcher, especially leading up to that, because they kept highlighting how amazing it is. I was like, okay, because it is amazing. I thought she was going to win, though. But now I do feel it's too soon. But I mean, like, Kalani is a very, very sweet girl. And it's like, it's like I'm hoping for a good title run, but the way she's being presented now, like a pure white meat, like baby face like this, I don't know if it's fully going to connect with the crowd long term like that. It's just seeing her just, you know, be the, not, hey, I like everyone. Let's defend and do that. You know, I don't know how long it's going to last, though. Although I do see a heel in her. I feel like I can
do
see
you.
It. I kinda do.
It's even scarier. I think a heel like her would be scarier in the sense that because she was so sweet, you never imagined that she would be this mean person. She could be like the person that's like, oh, I'm smiling in your face, but behind your back, I'm this evil person, right? Yeah. Sweet and sour type, sweet and sour, like a sour patch. Okay, so, but here's the thing though. I feel like both Kalani and Sol Ruka were also the MVPs of that ladder match. Like, they did the very best in that match. They were, honestly, to me, they had the best spots. They had the best moments, all of that. Again, I still think it's too soon, but how many times? I don't know. I just feel like I really thought they were going to push Sol Ruka a lot further at this point.
I feel like if they do have Sol Ruka go and win, I feel like that's going to, I feel like that will make Kalani probably turn heel. I think she may disappear for a few weeks, come back, heel. Or, I mean, that could be a route. That's like the traditional WWE route, though, but we're in a new era. So, I mean, they could stick to, you know, face and be, you know, shake hands in the end, though. But I just don't feel like that's going to happen this time. I don't know why. Like, I just don't feel like it's going to be just a face versus face. You know, Kalani wins. Hey, we shake hands. We're still friends. I just don't see it. I just don't. And just by the way, Sol Ruka is really part black. Really? I don't mean to like just break.
Yeah, someone said that. I think a couple shows ago, I just learned that she was. I forgot if it's her mother or her father. I don't remember. But yeah, I recently learned that because I was unaware either.
Oh, no, I do. Because I remember because Righteous Reg had me cry. He had me crying.
Yeah, said, Reg was the one that told me then on the Battleground show. That's when I found out because someone mentioned the fact that I forgot what the fact was. God, I'm blanking right now. But yeah, it was the Battleground show where I learned that fact.
I was so surprised because first of all, Ray had me crying laughing when he said, oh, yeah, she got a black ass daddy. He looked like me. I cried laughing. I cried laughing. But yeah, I mean, I was surprised at that. But I mean, but just back to the main point, though, I do see Kalani possibly being the heel, just because, again, because Soul Snatch is such a face move. I just don't see that being like a heel like move to win a match, though. So
I can't boo Sol Ruka because, again, like you said, it's so fun to see her do the Soul Snatcher. Yeah. But also she comes out, she's surfing waves, and everybody has this like this predisposition of what people from California are like, right? It's always like the, hey, yeah, dude, righteous. And she's a surfer on top of that. So you're just adding to the stereotypical Californian vibe. And I don't think you see that person as a heel, and she's not coming off as like she's some like, you know, hippie or anything. That's not how she's being presented, but that's like the overall stereotype I think of a California surfer with the beach blonde hair, and she is literally what you would expect to find here.
Yes, exactly. And because she's like not a hippie, but just cool, like good vibes.
She's just chill. She's vibes. She's zen. She would be down walking in Venice Beach, chilling.
Yes. By the way, I'm a proud Texan. I really am. I love Houston specifically. I'll just say too, but going to Cali, man, y'all beaches are so nice. Like, and this is how, and I love my city. You know, we have Galveston Beach out here. We love it, but it's not the cleanest, right? I went to Redondo Beach and was blown away. And y'all were like, "That's not even our best beach." I was like, "You have better beaches than this one."
So many beaches, like so many.
We went to Redondo. We were blown away. We were like, "This is so nice." They're like, "Oh, this is nothing." I was like, "Really?"
I know. Oh, I know. Oh, I mean, it's the whole entire coastline. You can go and pick your poison. Go and see what you like the best.
Like, I put my feet in the water and saw my feet. Fam, you don't understand.
You want to know something that's terrible? And a lot of people are like, what? Because I think everybody who's not from California assumes, oh, you're at the beach all the time. You must love being out in the sun. Me, along with a zillion people that I know that were born here in California, do not like to go to the beach. I go to the beach once a year, and I only go because it's like that random thing you just have to do in the summer. Oh, it's the summertime. I'm going to go to the beach. And there's always that one family member. Every year I say, I'm not going to go to the beach this year. That one family member decides to throw a party. Oh, we're going to go to the beach and have a party. Okay, fine. I'll show up. But it's because I hate the way I feel when I go to the beach. You come back, you're dirty, you're sandy. There's sand everywhere, okay?
Everywhere.
See what I'm saying? And I hate the feeling. I hate the way my hair feels, my body feels after the beach. And you can't just go to the beach and not go in the water. What's the point?
Yeah, because you might as well just watch it online if you're going to do that. Just watch it on your phone.
Get in there. Oh, man. I love it. All right, let's keep it going here. We got Sheldon Jackson, who says, so since both of y'all are fans of JC Jane's, give me a reason why I should give JC Jane another shot to see if I'm interested in her and her character. All right, I have exhausted my reasons for Sheldon. It's been a while, though. This is the problem. It's been a while since we've really seen anything from JC because she was kind of out for a bit. But when she was sort of hot and thriving on the show, I liked that she was a good mean girl. I liked mean girl JC Jane.
I agree too. And I feel like she's someone I feel you can put in any slot in the women's division and she will thrive in it. She'll make the best of it. She's good on the mic, good persona backstage. And I mean, and like she's in the storyline, right? I mean, she's doing a great job wearing the mask. I mean, I think she's doing great wearing the Cody mask. It's a pretty good job. And like right now, she's currently like adding two more people in there, more screen time for them. I feel she's always a really good, solid character to always have, whether you need her in the main event scene or in a side scene or a tag scene. She's someone I feel is very reliable, good in the cool in the ring, not bad in the ring at all, great on the mic, and I feel like she's just very valuable to that brand. Like, Sheldon, you gotta give her 6 more months, okay? Now, if you don't like where she goes, then I'll be like, all right, okay, it ain't working.
How about this? Give her next big storyline.
Yes, that's even better.
Because what if she does nothing in the next 6 months? I mean, it looks like they're going a certain direction, right? But then who knows? They could just like not do it. Her next big story.
Yes, her next big story, which I feel, hey, who knows? Maybe the Women's North American Championship. And yeah, but also just back to that, if Kalani does lose it, I do feel that should turn her heel. Like, she should really hate losing that title. Like, it should make it mean that much more. Like, if she loses it, just loses her mind.
Loses her mind. Yeah. But I almost feel like that's sort of what happened to Roxanne Perez, though. So it'd almost be like doing the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was also super baby face. Nobody saw her as a potential heel. And then she went crazy because she didn't have the championship. And we remember how she was all mad and stuff. And she got very angry. My favorite one ever was the one where she was in the shower where there was an open challenge, but she was in the shower.
Yes!
And she missed the open challenge. And I loved it because she came out with her hair wet. She was like, what is happening? that was the best.
It was so funny. That was so funny.
Yeah, it was. That was good. We got 2 super chats here from Sampai Boo, who says, you forgot about Julia. She will beat Roxanne Perez, saying, I can see Julia beat Roxanne Perez for the NXT Women's Championship, not Lola Vice. So I know a lot of people have been talking about Julia and, you know, whether or when she's coming into WWE. Now, here's my whole thing. My whole thing is, until she's physically there, I personally, as a fan, don't sort of see, I'm not going to be waiting for her to be the one to come in and beat Roxanne, because we haven't seen her on the show yet. We haven't seen what she can do yet. She has to come out and prove herself on the actual programming. Right now, my interests are in Lola Vice. My interests are in the women that we're seeing right now, because that's who they're taking time telling the stories with. So until Julia comes in and until we see what she's doing there, then I'm going to be like, hell yeah, she should be the one to beat Roxanne Perez, blah, blah, blah. But until that happens, I'm not going to say it's going to happen until she's actually physically there. Debuting.
I concur, Denise.
All righty. Thank you so much to Sampai Boone. We got Rick Crozier here who says, yeah, it was me that spoke about there being five black women in the ring during the Battlegrounds review. Okay, that's what it was. Thank you so much for coming back to the NXT post show. I was trying to remember what it was, but there you go. That was the fun fact. Five black women in the ring during the NXT Battleground review. Because yeah, I'm trying to remember everybody that was in that. Let me see. NXT Battleground 2024.
Kalani.
It was Kalani, Jada. What do we have here?
Sorry. Lash Legend.
Yeah, okay. Kalani Jordan, Sol Ruka, Lash Legend, Fallon Henley, Jada Parker, Meechan. So the only one was Fallon Henley. That was not.
I'm about to say Fallon Henley. I was like, you are lying. What? What?
What? What? Imagine all of a sudden you're like, wait, Fallon Henley too? What's going
wait,
on here?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. I'm about to need
to just... I love that. That's hilarious. All right, there you go. I'm never forgetting this fact ever again. And Philip Fallon Henley was the only one that's not. All right, there we go. We won't forget this fact. Rick, thank you so much for sending in that super chat to remind us here.
Thank you, Rick.
I love that. All right, so let's go ahead and get into the main event program because that is a big topic that I want to make sure we jump into. Stat.
Yes.
Here we go. There's a lot in here. So just to kind of highlight, last week, Javon Evans won a number one contender's battle royal. But then he got beat by Ethan Page. And we were sitting here at Chinadu going, well, he shouldn't be the new number one contender if he got beat. So Ethan Page comes out and sort of cuts this promo saying the exact same thing that we were talking about here on the podcast and calls out Ava and says, I should be the one to be facing Trick Williams. I beat the number one contender. However, we got Trick Williams out there. We got Sean Spears out there. And Sean Spears, his whole thing is, okay, well, I'm about to have a match with the champion. And I also beat Javon Evans 2 weeks before that. And so he's also making a case for this. We get the main event, Trick Williams versus Sean Spears. And they end up, you know, they're having their match, whatever, right? Then there's a moment where Brooks Jensen comes out and he's doing the whole madman thing where he's just reckless and wild and he's in this hood and the security are trying to hold him back and he's trying to get in and he's all crazy. And there's a moment where he grabs the top of the commentary table and ends up smacking Trick Williams right in the head. And right then and there, we all saw the writing on the wall. And that is Sean Spears hits his C4 on Trick Williams and pins the champion 1-2-3. Of course, this was a non-title match, but this is how they ended up setting this up. So now, here's the thing, Chinadu. At this point, I'm thinking, okay, Ethan Page trumped Javon Evans, where I thought Ethan Page defeating him meant that he should face Trick Williams. But Sean Spears pinning the champion trumps Ethan Page. So to me, it should just be Trick Williams versus Sean Spears at NXT Heatwave. However, Ava does not see it that way, and instead it is a fatal four-way, which, again, they sort of telegraphed last week with the closing shot with all four guys in the ring. So we already knew this was happening based off of that, but now it is official. Chinadu, how did you feel about this?
I was very upset. First of all, the fact that Sean Spears won. You're not supposed to win. You're Sean Spears. You're not supposed to win. That's my top point of all of this. You're Sean Spears. Who? What? That was my number one thing, first of all. The fact that he won. I couldn't believe that. I was like, what? I thought Trick was going to, like, win this. I thought it was going to be a good match because, you know, all joking aside, Sean Spears is great in that ring. All right? We will not joke about that. He's great in that ring. I thought it would be a great match to push Trick, you know, highlight Trick's strength in that ring, good veteran. And just, but Trick would ultimately hit the trick shot, win, whoop that, you know, NXT on a cool note, the crowd, you know, because they were chanting something for him in that crowd, by the way. I want to figure out what it was, but it was a long chant it went on for a long time. I don't know what they were chanting though, but hopefully we can find out.
Yeah, there was almost like a song, right?
Yes, they were saying something in the crowd. I couldn't make it out what they're saying.
I didn't know what it was either.
And I was like, okay, they really behind him, but then he lost, and the thing went. When he got hit with that, oh my God, when Brooks Jensen hit Trick, I was like, that's it. And I was very upset with it. I saw it coming, a fatal four-way though, but I don't like Trick getting pinned.
Me either.
I just don't. Like, he's
especially Shinadu, because how do you feel about the way that he's been presented as champion right now? It's not like he's been at a 10 the whole time.
No, he hasn't. Well, I mean, we started off his reign with a kind of a romantic like storyline with Lash Legend. So we didn't start off with like a serious feud. So, and I was entertained by it because Trick is in. I like Trick. He's entertaining. I love that. But I was always in the back of my mind, when's the feud coming? Like, and don't tell me no Amdar. Don't you tell me no Amdar. Please.
Preach to the choir here. To the choir. Yes, that's how I felt too.
Yes. And I was up here like, you don't beat the Mad Dragon. And then this is your next feud. This is supposed to be something like, Trick needs to face monster mountains of feuds. It should be like, oh, you beat Ilya. Fuck. That's how I feel like. It shouldn't be, but a fatal four-way, I saw it coming. I saw it coming, but I don't like him getting pinned. It hasn't been presented well as a strong feud to me to make me believe like Trick can solidly hold down that title. I want him to win, but like the feuds haven't been like they weren't Carmelo Dragunov like levels of matches and feuds. And I haven't seen that breakaway match of the year yet from Trick defending that title yet. I've just seen great matches that I feel would be great on, and you know, very entertaining matches because I like Trick, but I haven't seen that breakout match yet the way I saw with Carmelo and Ilya. I just haven't.
I feel you. And I think it's going to be, I'm hoping that this Fatal 4-Way is good. And I think that they have all the components to make it a good match. But of course, it is so different because Ilya had Carmelo's best matches. He had Trick's best matches. Yes. I mean, he was Ilya Dragunov. So he was bound to have those type of matches with those people. But I felt that this ending did not... I did not like it. I did not like seeing the champion get pinned again because, like I said, it hasn't been a 10 all the way. And considering that when Trick Williams won the title, that the freaking NXT Performance Center shook, you need to match that energy and keep that going. And of course, you know, they struggled for a bit, but thankfully they were able to get some good people in on the show and things have changed. You've had the added addition of Ethan Page. And so now you can go ahead and add to his title picture and things feel like there's been a little course correction until tonight where I thought, don't screw Trick Williams just to make this a fatal four-way. I feel like they could have just done a situation where I don't even know. I mean, Brooks Jensen, couldn't this have ended in a DQ or something and been like, oh, well, I don't know. He got DQ'd. So there you go. I would have taken that. I hate to say it, but I would have taken that.
You know, I would have too. Like, if Brooks Jensen would have hit Sean Spears and like got the DQ win, I'd have been cool with that. And the ref saw it. Like, I'd have been cool with that or something. But just him to get pinned in that ring, the visual pin from Sean Spears. It's Sean Spears, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it gets kind of worse too, Chinadu, because I know they're trying this new things with Brooks Jensen, but you got to understand, the only Brooks Jensen that I've seen was the one that got punked around by Josh Briggs after they broke up as friends and was not really doing anything on the show. There was nothing interesting happening. So I still have that Brooks Jensen in my head.
Yes, and like this, and to me, like I saw what it was, and I would see it there. But now that it's interfered with this, I'm like, I want less of you now, Brooks, because look what you did. Look what you've done. Like you got me talking in bad grammar. Okay, look what you did. Look what you've done. Okay, I don't like I just and it, I oh man. And in my mind, I'm like, dude, are there no like veterans on the main roster we can send down to NXT to have a good feud with Trick right now? Who's not doing anything right now on Raw and SmackDown?
I mean, God, I feel like there's a bunch of people that you can probably do that with. And we'll circle back to that. But it's just one of those things where, again, this better be freaking worth it. Because at some point, now you're telling me because she screwed Trick Williams. That means at some point we're going to have to revisit Trick Williams and Brooks Jensen.
Yeah.
And again, the Brooks Jensen that I still have in my mind is what we were seeing on NXT.
And it's like, and it wasn't exciting. It wasn't someone who should be in the main event scene at all. So I'm like, why is this happening right now? Please.
It's a huge leap.
And I was like, y'all, come on, y'all. It's not working. Him, what's his name? Ridge, Karrion, all you guys. You guys just go send them to main event.
Add Gallus.
And Gallus.
Sorry, I'm a hater. And Chase you. I'd chase you too.
Yeah, set them all. Yes. Yes.
I'm just going to throw up. I'm just gathering everybody in a little pile. You, yeah, main events, level up.
Let's just go, man. Because it's like, first of all, the fact that Andre is out here still wrestling in sweaters after all this time, just enough. Let's just go.
You want to know why they're called Chase U? Because they're chasing you away.
Wow.
I know. Damn. That's so mean. I thought about it today. It popped into my head and I was like, dumb joke, but I'm going to make it on the podcast.
That was good. I had that sign, Chase U Away, in the crowd. Would hurt my feelings if I saw that. That would hurt my feelings. Like, oh, wow. Dang.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine someone takes that sign. Oh, that would feel so bad. Oh, well, too bad.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's like Thea, you got to get out of here. Like, you just...
Save yourself, Thea. Save yourself. She's my fave, so... Brandon Rosen sends in a super chat saying, thank you, Chinadu. Spears had no business being in the main event story in the first place. Now he's got a title shot because of some Brooks Jensen BS. I'm excited about going to Heatwave, but this main event is effed up. It should have just been Ethan Page and Trick Williams. Yes. Run it back. I'm okay with that. I almost feel like they just didn't want to run that back.
I feel that too, because I honestly felt like that first match was like missing a last gear. I felt like it ended too quickly.
It did. It felt like that too. Felt incomplete.
Yeah, like something should have happened that didn't happen or something. But I feel like if they ran back a part two, I'd be down for it though. Because again, like we need to build. I want Trick to be built up like a legit champion, the same way Carmella was and Ilya was. You know, Ilya didn't have it as long. Like he had solid, good matches that made me believe he's the champion and that he cared about it. And like right now, again, Noam Dar, all you go to the page, and now we're having this fatal four way after he got pinned by Sean Spears. Granted, the C4 is an amazing maneuver. It looks devastating. Yes, it does. But it's Sean Spears.
I don't know why, but just the way you say Sean Spears tells me everything I need to know about how you feel about Sean Spears. I like Sean Spears. I ain't even going to sit here and say I don't like Sean Spears. I like Sean Spears. But I just don't like it the way that it happened.
Look, as a person, I think he's a great guy as a performer too. But how he's been presented now and how I have seen him for the past few years. Okay, I would like if this was Ty Dillinger. I'm like, okay, no problem. Ty, perfect 10 matches, boy. But Sean Spears.
Oh man, Brandon Rosen, thank you so much for the super chat. Appreciated, man. All right, well, let me tell you, we're talking all things Heat Wave, and if you want to feel the heat. Blue Chew, code Denise. Are you jobbing now in bed? Do you have dreams of main eventing in the sack? Well, have no fear. Blue Chew is here to help you become the champ. Soon you'll make your baby face comeback and get the finish. Blue Chew is the place to go for chewable versions of sildenafil, tadalafil, vardenafil. These ingredients help men achieve stronger, yeah, harder, yeah, and longer lasting erections.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For sexual activity. Woo! The chewable tablets help fight off all forms of ED, which can include performance anxiety and maintaining an erection long enough for sex. A Blue True subscription includes a free online consultation, 24/7 medical support, a prescription for chewable sildenafil, tadalafil, vardenafil, if approved, and discreet delivery straight to your door every month, all from the comfort of your own home at affordable prices. No more in-person doctor visits, no more waiting for appointments, and best of all, no more awkwardness. So, what are you waiting for? Head on over to the description box of this video and click on the link and make sure to use the promo code Denise. I was watching you in the little bubble. I was watching your reaction. I could literally see you dying. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling, guys. Sponsored by Bluetooth. Code Denise. Oh, man.
Well, I was like, she said, are you dropping out in bed?
I said, I wrote that, BTW. I wrote that. I came up with that. I'm very proud of that.
Oh, my God. Wait, hold on. Hey, I'm sweating. Hold on. What's the time?
Are you struggling to get the finish? Oh, yeah. I broke Chinadu. You have been, what's that word when you get like, when you get brought into a group? Initiated? Is it initiated?
Yeah.
You've been initiated? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been initiated into the podcast of officially.
That was funny as hell. Y'all, listen, if your meat is weak, you use that promo code from Salcedo. And get your D game right, y'all. That was they need to give you a bonus for that. That was funny.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Are you jobbing out in bed?
I can't top that. That's all I've got. I peaked right there. And if you want to peek, Blue Chew code Denise. All right. I'm done. I swear to God, I'm done. All right, let's go ahead and get into the rest of the show and what went down. We got a couple more items to talk about. And the next thing I want to get into is because surprisingly, a lot of people here know that I'm not a fan of the NXT Heritage Cup. Recently, I've been digging it a lot more ever since Tony D'Angelo became champion. And let me tell you, I had a good time with Tony D'Angelo versus Nathan Frazier. This was fun, especially the way that Nathan Frazier got the first fall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you don't want to finish that quickly, don't you go? All right. I'm done. I had just brought Chinadu back from the dead.
Oh my God.
All right, I'm done. I was about to do another one, but I'm done.
That was so funny. Y'all, I have never seen that ad ever. I have never seen that ad.
Speaking of Tony D.
That was a good laugh. Y'all, that was great.
He's got the towel and everything. Yeah.
I know that they may have seen this several times. That was my first. I said, what's going on?
It plays four times a month, so on different shows. Yeah, so the people will see it four times a month on here.
Whew,
so this was the fourth time this month.
Yeah. Hey, SRS, man, take notes, man. You see that, boy? That's an ad. Whew. That's just funny, man.
So, Chinadu, now that you're back to life.
I'm back.
What did you think of Tony D versus Nathan Frazier?
Oh, yeah. Whew. Clear.
My face hurts right now.
Yes.
I promise I shouldn't be doing that.
Wait, okay.
I caught my face. I was looking at you and then I turned and I caught my face. And I was like, oh, that does not look good. All right, for reals, now I'm done.
Oh man, wait, okay. Tony D'Angelo. All right. Wait, okay. No.
I think if I'm serious. I think we lost you, Chinadu. You can't even breathe.
Oh man. That one line. are you jobbing out in bed? Oh my God. That, oh man, I needed that laugh. That was, whew, okay. I'm sorry. I'm back, y'all. I am back. That was, whew.
You're legitimately sweating.
Man, my whole head sweat, y'all. Listen, I was dying in that ad. I was dying in that ad. Y'all didn't see me.
I literally saw you in the little box. I could see you going. And I was so chill. I was just drinking water. I was sharing the link, chilling.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
My face hurts.
Yes, man. Are you jobbing out in bed?
Do you want me to depress you so you can get like in a bad mood? No.
No, this is good. This is good. I'm
Sean
good.
Sean Spears.
Yeah.
I brought you back. Sean Spears. Ridge Holland. Yeah. Karrion Kross.
Oh my God. Yeah, man. I'm back.
All right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Are we back? We're back. Yes.
Is this Heritage Cup stuff doing anything for you? Because I think it's doing something for me, finally.
Yes, finally, it is. It was not for a good while because I was really getting it was getting to a point now it would happen. I'm like, okay, there go 12 minutes of the show, about to get ate up by this match. But this was exciting. Like, Tony D'Angelo got up there and he threw Frazier all so high up. He hit the main roster and then landed back down in NXT. I was like, fam, that was so much air. First of all, that media fall was so dope. I was like, okay, wait a minute. That had me convinced, like, yo, maybe he's going to win tonight. They had me. I'll be real. They had me. I was like, I thought he was going to win.
I didn't want it to happen just because I feel like Tony D really needed this. But at the same time, Nathan Frazier just did so good and he was so fun in this match. And I thought he worked very nicely with Tony D. They're very different, right? Very different styles. But I feel like Nathan brought out the best in Tony D.
I can agree. Like, that match reminded me of a match that Baron Corbin had with Cedric Alexander a few years ago. And, I mean, it was just an amazing match. Like, I don't know if you remember. It was top to bottom was just amazing. And that's what this reminded me of. Like, it was just a great match. I sat for this whole thing. Usually Heritage Cup is my bathroom break. Usually. Like, I go out,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I mean, not, you know, for me. I still stick around and I watch, but it's one of those things where I'm just like deadpan, no reaction. When is this going to end?
Yes, Sean Spears, you know, but.
Poor Sean Spears catching strays. I'm going to get a call and be like, yo.
I know, listen, Sean, I'm just kidding, Sean. I'm not going to get a call.
No one cares.
I'm about to say, Sean, this is only reflective of how you've been booked. That's all. I think you're a great guy, but. But yeah,
watch me randomly get a call all of a sudden.
Yeah, man, this is Mr. C4. All right, coming up.
I want to speak to that Chinadu of yours.
Yeah, I'm getting on the phone. Like, yes, this is Miss Spears. Okay, look, don't get mad at me. Okay, and then matter of fact, I have a great offer for you. Okay, quick question: are you jobbing out in bed? Because I have a thing. I'm just kidding.
Turn it into a sales call. Do you want to be the perfect 10
in bed?
Bro, what am I doing here? My life should be in Blue Chew advertising.
Blue Chew, y'all need to print Denise this money and quit playing.
I'm going to retire and get an ad job. Because I heard people that are in advertising make a lot of money, right?
Oh, yeah, they do. I know, especially in certain parts of the South out here. If you know what you're doing, oh, yeah. All right,
That might be my next career. That's going to be my new jump.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm on to something. All right. Let's see what else we got to get into for the show. All right. The next thing I do want to get into is the number one tag team turmoil that went down to crown the new people that would go on to face the champions, Axiom and Nathan Frazier at NXT Heatwave. The teams that we had in this were Malik and Idris, the No Catch Republic, Good Brothers, Umberto and Angel, and Chase U. And we ended up getting Chase U. They got the win over No Catch Republic, who had been there the whole time, but they got eliminated by Chase U. I don't even know what to say. Oh, and this was all because of Ridge Holland, by the way.
Yeah, by the way, again, too, first of all, when they said tag team, I really was like, why is Chase U in this? That's kind of my initial feeling. I was like, why?
That who should win it?
No, like, I was like, what? My initial thoughts were, why is Chase U even in this? Like, I wasn't expecting them. I wasn't expecting them to be the final tag team. Like, if anything, I thought maybe it would have been the Good Brothers or something like that, or maybe OTM, who's actually a tag team, you know, not a gimmick group, you know, or hey, you know, maybe. But even though I'm not a big OTM fan like that, though, I was like, but just I didn't like them losing because they had been through so much and they're like, they're such great in the ring, such great wrestlers in the ring. And I like who they are. I like Pete Dunne being Pete Dunne again. I want them to get a good run with the tag belts because Nathan Frazier and Axiom, you know, they're not really a team like that anyway. Like, I like actual tag teams being tag team champions, not like single stars, because they're both singles. They're not, you know, I view them as singles guys that just kind of came together. They're an actual team. New Capture Republic, I like them. They had such great chemistry in that ring. And here comes Chase U. And again, I used to like Chase U. I'm not really that big on them. And I don't want them in the tag team title picture. I just don't.
I feel you. And also, I've given up on Angel and Humberto. No one's ever doing nothing with them in WWE. And I feel so bad. I know they put them in the group and all of that. But I mean, you could have easily forgotten that they were doing that. Which is very unfortunate because I'm still waiting for them to get their real opportunity there. Malik and Idris, I feel, are constantly looked over, like constantly glossed over. I think they are a phenomenal tag team. No Catch Republic should have won this, but hey, I ain't booking this. It's Chase U. And I think this is just them trying to, I feel like they don't want to let Chase U go. And they're trying to make us love Chase U, but it's expired already.
It did. The series finale was the JC James storyline where, like, Thea Hale found herself again. That should have been it. Unless you're going to bring in a whole new crop of wrestlers, which I don't recommend anyway. And you bring somebody else in there and have Andre Chase, you know, mentor them. I don't see why this is still going on, though. Like, Thea Hale still being the hype kind of perky girl, I think is great. It's lovable. But, like, I want to see more character development at this point.
I feel you. Like, all right. I feel you with that. I feel like Thea, her character's great. But again, I do feel like they're sort of casting her to the side for a second now. But Chase U, yes, you're right. Needs new character. New character development across the board. Yes. New.
Yes, all the way.
And my bro. Wesley, Joe Coffey. I feel bad, but I just did not care. Wesley gets the win here. And I mean, I think we already knew that. And they officially made this match official with him and Opa Femi. How'd you feel about it?
Same way. I mean, I knew Wes was going to win. Like, it's Joe Coffey. Like, I thought the finishing move was very nice. I love Wesley's finisher. It's really cool. And again, too, it was just, it kind of reminded me of, I'm sorry, excuse me. Hold on. Sorry, I cleared my throat.
It's the background. It's from all the laughing that you did.
I know, man. I'm just... Sorry, but I really just felt that with this, it was I wasn't too I didn't care. I knew who was gonna win though, so it was probably a predictable match. You know, Opa Femi with the promo I felt was good. You know, I felt it's what you would expect to happen again, but I felt like we already had this happen already. The kind of face off talk between them, so I felt it was already happening. If anything, it's made me kind of sad, though. It made me realize that, like, all the brothers on this show all have great hairlines and dreads, and I'm on the bald end, you know, I'm on that short end stick, though, you know. So it's like
right. Everybody does have the great hair.
Yeah, everyone has great hairlines and dreads specifically. Like, everybody has dreads. I'm like,
when did you lose yours?
Oh man,
was it early? Yeah. Or did you get to enjoy it for a bit?
No, I had a good time. I got to enjoy. I had braids, you know what I'm saying? Cool little S curl for a little bit, you know that era, you know what I'm saying? Seashells around the neck, you know, in that little Laguna Beach era. You feel me? Had that time, you know, it was good. What else? Good faith though, but you know, right at 30, you know, my dad's ball, he told me one day it will happen though. So prepare yourself for, like, he was scarred. Be prepared though. It's coming. I was like, it ain't happening to me, man. When I turned 30, it got a little right there. I was like,
you're like, it's coming.
My dad. And so, you know, I keep it cut low though. And honestly, you know, I'm cool with being bald. I do not hate being bald. I love it. I'm cool with it. But I'll be honest, there are certain days I want to call Ollie Davis up and be like, hey, what'd you do? I'll be honest and say it. But most days I'm happy, you know. But that is something I did observe about all the roster though. Like, everyone has great hairlines, great dreads, though. It's really good.
I feel you. I mean, I know it's different for guys and for women, but I don't know what's going on. Like, why do men lose their hair? Like, why is this happening to all of them? Like, it's so mean. Like, come on. Oh, yeah. Why is this happening?
You know, for me, I accepted it. You know, I didn't try to fight it. You know, it's part of life. Again, I had a good run, and I feel, you know, I've been told, I look good. I look good with short hair. I've been told I got the beard gang going. You know what I'm saying?
Good thing is you can rock the bald look. That's a good thing. Because if not, then you know.
Yes, you know.
If not, you would be screwed. You have no choice. Oh my god. Ever. All right, we got one more thing to get into, and the last and final thing is the Aura Menza story. Aura Menza cuts a very you know what, I'm gonna come back to Aura Menza because it was more like a serious story, so I'll come back to Aura Menza. Tavion Heights defeats Damon Kemp, so he's now in the quarter catch crew, and then the Aura Menza story is he shares this story that I actually had no idea about. And he basically said that his dad was in a car accident where he ended up getting 60% of his body burned. And he talks about, you know, being from Nigeria and always sort of feeling like he couldn't fit in. And it wasn't until he was with Metaphor that he was able to actually fit in with Metaphor. So it sort of turned into this cute story, right, in the end. But I didn't know any of this about Aura Menza. And so it made me go, oh, dang, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to say, but I don't know. It's kind of complicated sometimes with real life stories because there's times where I almost don't want to see sometimes I feel like the real life stories make me too sad and I don't want to root for somebody because they just had a sad story. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, how do I not root for them knowing their sad story? It was almost like what happened with Von Wagner.
Yeah.
It's like a similar feeling where you're like, oh man, I can't explain it. It makes you feel a little weird because you're at first, you want to be, I guess, won over first by the actual talent, the in-ring and the promos and all of that before hearing the sad stories. But at the same time, those sad stories are what shape you as a person. And so implementing that in the story is also good. So I don't know. I go back and forth when we see real life stuff brought into pro wrestling. Sometimes I like it. Sometimes I'm not so sure about it. But again, when you hear stories like this, though, it does really just make you think like sometimes you just don't know some of the terrible things people have been through.
I can definitely agree. And I'll say too, Denise, firstly, I just want to say, man, Von Wagner, I haven't heard that name, first of all. I haven't even thought about that name.
I felt bad for him when they released him. He was finally starting to get his groove on NXT.
When they named him Von Wagner, I said, y'all do not care about this boy. Y'all don't care about this man at all. Von Wagner, who? Man, I'd have been so upset. But back to your point though, to be honest, I feel bad saying this though, because at the beginning, you know, he's a fellow Nigerian man, my fellow Niger bro, you know. But even at the beginning of the story, I was like, bro, where is this going? At first, I was like, what are you talking about? I thought he was gonna like drown on about something like out of nowhere though. But when I could tell he's being serious, I was like, oh, he's being serious. Oh, I haven't like, oh. And then I mean, it was a very compelling story too. I mean, very, you know, it was a very touching story too. But a part of me was like, are you sure you want to tell the story for Metaphor? You know, for me, I was like, not to knock Metaphor, but I was like, I guess, you know, like, I know it sounds mean, but I think because like I was
it's sort of like you're not really sure. That's kind of how I felt. Like when do you share these deep type of stories? Because even like, for example, when bad stuff happens in private life, like in my private life, I don't put it out there on social media. I don't like to use it because then it feels like it's sort of a, I don't know. It's really weird. So I usually keep, I share everything, right? But like the real personal stuff, you won't ever see that on social media.
Yeah, I felt like that was such a real personal story that like, I don't know, like I felt like if I were going to tell that story, that had been like in the middle of the ring, like in the middle of a real serious promo, not like backstage segment with Norm Dar on the phone, you know, like.
Yeah. Or maybe like being part of a big story, why this means a lot to you. Maybe you're going for the NXT championship. This is where I bring it up.
Yeah.
It could have been used. I don't know. It's so weird. It's kind of weird to talk about. But at the same time, though, it did make me see Aura Menza in a different light. So I guess it worked. Because I think about it. Have you ever seen The Voice?
Yeah.
Okay. The Voice did that all the time. Every single competitor they would make sure to pull a story or whatever their biggest challenge was in life in order to make the viewer want to root for them. So I feel like it's like a tactic that's used. And honestly, it worked because I would hear some of these stories and I was like, oh my God, this happened. Oh my God, I'm going to root for this person. I really want them to win or whatever. And so it is one of those things that I feel. And I remember The Voice would do it for like every single competitor.
Oh yeah.
All of them.
Invested. Like it's the human interest factor. I mean, it's very, very, very compelling. It pulled me into this character even more. So it really did though. I was like, I had no idea you went through something like that. I mean, and I love the human interest in it, but I think what we both feel the same way is that like the placement of it was just for me, like I wasn't expecting to hear a story that deep in a storyline that I felt wasn't that deep.
Right. I feel you. Because like even when, for example, Gigi Dolan, when she started opening up about her home life, that was when she was in a serious feud with JC Jane, her former friend, sort of like interconnected, and it ended up being something that was like the focal point of her story. Yeah. Even with Von Wagner too, like his whole thing, it was, how did it happen? I remember when they started sharing stories, I think was when they were trying to like get people to be interested in him. I don't know. It's really weird. It's a difficult dynamic, I think, to sort of work along with, but that's what we got with Oramenza. And I think Noam Dar, I believe he said he's going to be out for a bit. I didn't really catch what he was saying on the phone, but from the sounds of it, he's going to be gone for a bit.
Yeah, like he made it seem like it's gonna be like for sure a couple months, the way he made it seem like. So I'm not expecting Metaphor to be what they are for a while though. So maybe this was meant to be a type of shift of that group to be maybe a bit more serious though with Noam Dar, who I felt was the leader of the group. I wasn't sure. Is he the leader?
He was the leader, yeah. I think that's what made the group a little bit I wasn't a fan of Metaphor.
Yeah,
I was not a fan of Metaphor. I just couldn't get behind it. I just couldn't get behind it. I thought that the team was too cheesy, too corny. Yeah. It wasn't funny. It came across as a little bit more obnoxious. And that's the thing. Like with funny, some things are really funny and great, and then some things can sort of come across as obnoxious. And that's sort of how the Metaphor group came around to me. And I personally have liked the people in Metaphor when they're separate from each other.
Yes, like Lash Legend by herself is amazing by herself. In this group, you don't really get to notice who she is in the depth of her character. Same thing with him. Like, if this was him separately, like talking about this in the ring and going on a vignette about him going for a single thing, I thought that'd be much better though. But I feel like this was designed to make them a bit more serious, get more sympathy behind them, maybe become more of a babyface group.
That's what I was thinking. It felt like there was a shift in Metaphor tonight.
Yeah, and so I guess that's what they're going to do, especially with Noam Dar being gone, because Noam Dar was the heel mouthpiece as well. So it's, you know, I will see. But again, I was initially just like, this is such a, it's a very compelling story, though, and my heart goes out to him for going through that, though. But it just felt, it was placed in such an odd place to me. I still stand on that, you know?
Right. So we got a couple of matches announced for next week. We have Jada and Meechan, and that's taking place in a street fight. They're going to have a street fight. Jada versus Meechan. I know you are in lust with Jada Parker.
Well, I would say this. She's a great talent, which actually brings me to why I'm wearing this referee shirt. I talked with CM Punk. He said apparently you can grab these shirts and go into this match. So I'd like to let you guys know, Jada, Meechan, if you guys need a referee to call it down the middle, okay? In Jay Parker's favor, you let me know, okay? I got your back, okay, Jada Parker? I'll let me know. I'll disqualify her so she come out to the ring, okay? Just let me know. The ring, no problem. We gonna build you up. No, we're going to get you money. You want to win money in the bank? I'll make it happen. You know, we'll go. I'll talk to people. Put you in the match. We'll do that, too. Whatever you need. Jada for Parker for president, okay? She's the best. Shout out to Reg, who also has great taste and talent as well. It's amazing. Jada Parker is the best.
And Roxanne and Lola Vice will have a face-off ahead of their match at NXT Heatwave. I think that's all they announced, right, for next week. Did they announce anything else?
No, I think that was it.
All right, unless they missed it. I'm sorry if I missed what else they announced, but those were the two things that I saw that they did announce for next week. So there you guys have it. That, my friends, was NXT for today. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. There is a full slate of shows this entire week, so keep an eye out for all of that. Also, starting July, I am going to be dropping daily content here on the channel, and it's all going to be about SummerSlam. That's right. I am going back and rewatching every single SummerSlam and going to be doing little videos about it, and there's going to be one dropping every single day from July 1st through July 31st, and it's a lot of freaking work, so make sure you guys tune in. Today, I started today because I needed to get a head start, obviously. I started with, obviously, the beginning, so I already watched 3 in 1 day, 88, 89, and 90. So I'm honestly fried. When I was watching NXT today, my eyes were so freaking dry. I had to put my glasses on. Usually when I put my glasses on, that's when I know I've been online far too long. And but anyways, it's happening. I'm doing it. It's a challenge. I cannot wait. So keep an eye out for that. Chinadu, what do you got going on?
First of all, we're not going to overlook the fact that she's watching every single SummerSlam. Okay, how it's do you 36. Not join the DWO? 36 of them, okay? How do you not join the DWO with this kind of amazing content?
Oh, it's free. No, this one's free. It's free. It's open for the public.
Oh, my God. It's even better,
open
y'all.
For the public.
Yeah, but it's wow. Y'all better tune in and watch this content. This is great daily content, okay? Even this is stuff you can watch like at home. Put this on in the background at work. Great. Hear the good content. Play it all day. Stream it. Share it. Hit that like button. Drop dope comments, thorough comments. Share it and all that stuff, okay? It's very important to do that as well. For myself, you know, I'm cool stuff going on. You know, you can catch me on, you know, all the social media platforms as well. If you are in the Houston, Texas area, I'm having the biggest show I've ever had at the Cy-Fair Performing Arts, Visual Performing Arts Theater, 1,500 seats. We have already sold a few hundred opening weekends, so I'm very happy about that. Thank you so much. Get your tickets now. I will be
Did
on
say
tour later this month.
1,500?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, yeah. The venue holds 1,500, but we sold a couple hundred the first weekend, though. So we haven't sold out just yet. We got a couple hundred sold the first weekend. I'm very confident on the shows in 3 more months. On my birthday, September 21st, is a big deal. Sponsored by Pepsi, Whataburger, and Spa Cairo Houston. It is going to be amazing. Catch me on the morning show here in Houston, H-Town Rush. Catch me on the number one sports show in Houston. Sports Extra on Sunday nights. Catch me on Mary Street as well. I'm also, catch me at every Texan game, Dynamo game hosting, Astro game as well. All that good stuff. But mainly, just be sure to support Denise Salcedo, man. Fearless leader. Show her love. Watch that SummerSlam content, man. That's my main thing. Watch that SummerSlam content, guys. Watch it.
You don't even want to see the calendar. I'm going to show a glimpse, not the entire thing, but
a little bit. Show them that work, Denise. They got all these post-its.
Hold on. All these post-its that you see here is the schedule of when I'm watching and when I'm editing and when they're supposed to be out.
You see that,
with
y'all?
This type of stuff, you really have to be like, it's a lot because it's 36 episodes. It's a lot. Yes.
And they're not. And they're not an hour long, y'all. They're talking multi-hour episodes of these shows that she's watching. 36 of them, y'all, okay? So while some of y'all out here jobbing out in bed, she's out here working hard, getting this case in, getting this work in. Y'all better watch and support, okay? Likes and comments help the algorithm a lot, okay? If you want to help her get seen a whole lot more, share the video on all your platforms, all right? Drop a comment. Hit that like button. For real, it really matters, y'all. So please do it.
Let's go. All right, you guys, thank you so much. You guys can support Chinadu in the comments below as well. The description box below is where the link is at to follow Chinadu. And then as for me, you guys know where to find. Just make sure you guys hit that subscribe button. And we will catch you guys back here tomorrow for AEW Dynamite Friday, SmackDown with Robin. And then Saturday, I will be here for Collision. And then Sunday is Forbidden Door. So I will also be here with Reg on Sunday for Forbidden Door. All righty, everybody. Thank you guys so much. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye.
Rack up the deals on everything summer at Nordstrom Rack and get brands you love up to 60% off. Vince, Kate Spade New York, Steve Madden, Madewell, Nike, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Just in dresses, tops, shorts, sandals, sneakers, denim, luxury bags, and sunglasses. Rack up the deals today and save up to 60% on summer at your Nordstrom Rack store.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.